When I was a kid, I liked to experiment with my food to see which foods went better together, okay? So I'll tell you, I used to do things like at a Mexican restaurant. I would take literally all the ingredients on the table and put them together and see if they worked well. Generally, they did not taste that great together. But in my experimenting, I found a lot of things that I really did like together, like corn and mashed potatoes, all right? I was over at Grandma and Grandpa's house. Grandma had corn on the plate and mashed potatoes on the other side of the plate. And I said, I'll just save some room, combine those, mix them up, little bit of pepper. It's delicious, okay? That happened when I was 4 years old. For the next 23 years, I have not eaten my mashed potatoes without corn in them, okay? There's something else that was great. My grandparents had a donut shop right behind their house, which contributed to my childhood obesity. But I, for a while, I used to jump over the fence, and then I got to the point where I had to go through the gate. Okay. It was unfortunate. Anyhow, so the donut shop had jelly donuts, and I love raspberry-filled jelly donuts. And they also had cream soda. I like cream soda, too. I wonder how these two things would taste together. It's delicious, okay? And now I can't eat jelly donuts without cream soda, which adds to my current state of being, all right? But anyhow, over that time, I found some things that didn't work together, like eggs and ketchup. That is disgusting, okay? If you eat your eggs with ketchup, you are doing it wrong, and you're disgusting. Okay, let me get that. Or mayonnaise, and literally anything else that you pair with it, okay? Mayonnaise is disgusting. Should not be a condiment offered here in the United States. I truly believe that. It's nasty. And as I was like going with this thought in my mind, I looked online to see what are some pairings that other people have tried that don't work well together. And it was so funny because somebody said olives and donuts. And I'm like, well, no crap, they don't go together. That's disgusting. Or mustard and Jell-O. Yuck, what is the matter with people? But my absolute favorite was from a guy who said the two foods that don't go together at all are my wife's cooking and my mother-in-law's cooking. And there's several things in life that pair up, and there's several things in life that don't, right? And we start to learn that throughout life. We know that love and marriage go together. Mornings and coffee go together. Happiness and smiling goes together. Now, you could obviously have all those things on their own, but they're not as good as they would be together. So if you have a marriage without love, that's awful. Or if you have a morning without coffee, that's impossible, okay? Or if you have happiness without smiling, that just doesn't make sense. There are just certain things in life that go together. Well, James, in our reading today, presents another coupling. He presents two things that go together, faith and works. Now, even as I say that, I get a little uneasy. Because if you were raised in a Lutheran church or you're raised in a variety of churches, you have been told that you are saved by faith alone, right? Sola fide. And so for James to come in and say faith and works, we say, okay, well, this doesn't belong here. Something is wrong. And that's how we generally look at the book of James. We say this is opposed to everything else in Scripture. And certainly if I were going to preach to you the idea that faith and works are what save you together, then I would be contradicting what I've said for the last 2 weeks. Because up to this point in the series, you know, week one, we focused on legalism. And we talked about how in legalism, we start to make these lists and we want to follow the rules and we end up lifting up to God a list of all the things we've done right. And yet there's still all that stuff we've done wrong and we cannot be counted righteous before God if it's left up to us on checking off our list. Legalism opposes the gospel because legalism makes us to be our own God. That's what we talked about in week one. And then in week two, we talked about how the greatest problem in our life is not outside of us, it's inside of us. But we have no ability to change our own heart, which is why we are in desperate need of something that comes from the outside to change us from the inside out. And we know that that answer is Jesus through the waters of holy baptism, right? So if I were to stand in front of you today and say that faith and works save you, I would be contradicting everything I've said. Because if you contribute something to your salvation, then everything I've said is wrong, and everything that the Bible says about faith would be wrong as well. This verse makes us uncomfortable. But I think the reason we are the most uncomfortable with it is because we actually believe that we contribute something to our salvation. Because we actually believe we have to do something to get God to love us. No matter what we've been told throughout our life, there's still this sinking feeling in our heart that says, I'm not doing enough. Is God going to love me? Let me give you an example of how that plays out. There's a conference I've enjoyed going to over the last couple years. It's for church workers, and it's in Arizona in February, okay? That's the best part of it, is I get to leave Knoxville or wherever I live in the Midwest during the month of February to go to Arizona, okay? And Arizona happens to have In-N-Out Burger, which is my favorite restaurant on the planet Earth. But I go down there to learn. Okay, that's what I tell people, right? I go down there to learn, but I also go down to socialize with some friends that I graduated seminary with. And anytime you put a group of pastors together, you eventually get to the topic, so what's attendance like at your church on Sunday? And then how many baptisms have you done this year? How many confirmations have you done? And it becomes this measuring contest of how great you are. And you start swapping stories. And I have caught myself, this is what's crazy, I have caught myself making stuff up to look better than I actually am. Isn't that stupid? You know, how big is your church? And in my mind, I know we worship 515 people on an average Sunday, but we have 1,000 members, so it's like 1,000. And then there's that other little part of me in my head that's like, Travis, why are you such a liar? And you walk away from these situations and you feel like you have no value, or you feel like you've just been put down, because we still hold on to this belief that there's stuff that we need to do to get God to love us. And listen, I'm a pastor. I know the correct theological answers to these questions. I went through 4 years of just seminary, plus the 4 years of undergraduate where I did theology and all that. So 8 total years where I'm being told what the right answers are. You are saved by faith alone. I get that. And yet at the same time, deep in my heart, I want to believe that I need to do something to get God to love me. And so I stand there at these conferences feeling like a piece of junk because I haven't done enough, because I haven't built a shelter as a halfway house for women, or I haven't baptized 100 people, or we're only worshiping 515 instead of 520. Good Lord! This is what we do in our life. We measure ourselves against other people, and we measure ourselves against anything, because we still hold to this profound belief that there is something that we contribute to our salvation to get God to love us more or less. We hold to that belief, and yet, that is not what James is talking about. Go ahead and pick up your bulletins again, okay? Again, we're going to keep this 57 minutes, all right? James 2, 14 to 18, some of the hardest verses in Scripture, in my opinion. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can that faith save him? Notice James doesn't answer the question. But he goes on, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? You ever done that before? Let me just fess up, I have. Constantly in St. Louis, because St. Louis is a hub of poverty and homelessness. So many times where people were hungry and they'd come up and say, do you want food? And I had just bought somebody else food, and I'm thinking in my head, like, I don't have the money. And I say, I'll pray with you, because somehow praying with them is going to fill up their stomach. James has something to say about that. Faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, let me phrase it differently. Faith by itself, if it doesn't do anything, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James puts faith and works together. Does he say that works save you? No. But he still factors it into the equation. And that continues to make us uncomfortable. And so I was thinking about how to explain this to everyone today. And I think that there's only one way to do it, and it's with some simple arithmetic, okay? I need to preface this with I am not a math teacher. I'm a pastor. We don't learn math in seminary. The only thing we learn is what 10% of everything else is, okay? So let's work from some principles that we've learned in life, right? Let's say faith equals salvation. Now, we do believe that faith is what makes us acceptable to God, and faith is a gift from God. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. However, we also believe that all Scripture is true. So if faith equals salvation, then that means that James 2:17 that talks about faith and works is not true. And if James 2:17 is not true, then what can you really count on in the rest of the Bible to be true? If one part's not true, why do you believe any of it? So faith equals salvation, that can't be right, okay? So let's try this. Works equals salvation. This is what we believe a lot of the time, right? This is what the legalist looks at the world as, that works equals salvation, and yet we're confronted with another verse from Ephesians 2:8. For you have been saved by grace through faith, and it is not any matter of doing on your own so that you may not boast. Again, if all Scripture is true, then that means this equation can't work. So let me try something else, all right? Let's try this. I don't want to erase. How about faith plus works equals salvation? Does that work? Because if faith plus works equals salvation, first of all, that means you do something to contribute to your own faith. But if you know anything about math, which I don't, I had to look this up online, okay? Then that would mean that you can take something from the other side and take it off, which would mean that works could equal salvation minus faith. This is why I did not become a math teacher. And works equals salvation minus faith goes back to the same problem that Ephesians 2:8 has to be true, so this can't be. And if you flip it around and do faith equals salvation minus works, you're at the same issue with James 2:17. Okay? So let me try one more time. Just one more time. How about this? We're saved by faith alone. Our faith is given by God through the Holy Spirit. However, we do not stay the same when we're saved. So faith equals salvation. Oh, works. Don't want you to think you can be done. Faith, salvation, plus works. Now, this would work out. However, if you follow the math principle that I presented, you would know that if this is true, it could also mean faith minus works equals salvation. But even though the math would be true, the life wouldn't be. Because faith never comes alone. Faith never comes alone. That's hard to realize. Faith never comes alone. We're obviously saved by faith alone, by the grace of Jesus Christ, right? And through the waters of holy baptism, and we experience that grace in communion and in confession and in hearing the word of God. We're saved by that, and yet we are called by God to be different, okay? Faith equals salvation plus works. That's the Christian life. And yet, so many of us identify as Christians here, and yet when we see someone in need, we completely ignore them. How many times at a stoplight has a homeless person been there and stared at you and you glance away? As though they're not a person worth looking at. Or how many times has someone at work been depressed? And instead of caring about what they're depressed about, all you care about is the fact that you're having to make up for the work that they're not doing. Or how often in your marriage Are things not going right? And you're constantly blaming the other person, and yet you refuse to change anything about yourself because obviously you're perfect. Or how many times in life do we see other people struggling and we just don't care? James calls that faith dead. He asks, can it save you? Open-ended question. We could go for an hour about that. And I could sit here right now and I could tell you, I mean, if your life just looks like this and take out the works and you're a greedy, mean jerk of a person all the time, but you come to church on Sundays, I can tell you how to fix that. I could sit here and I could give you a list of what you need to do at school and in your relationships and at work and in all these different places in your life. But all that will do is end up being a legalistic list that you will eventually check off and throw away, realizing that you still don't stand before God with any gumption because you are done doing all these things and you think in your head that the more you do, the more God will love you, and yet you will come to realize that there is nothing that you contribute to your own salvation except the sin that made it necessary. That's what you will come to the understanding of if you live your life by this list and by this guilty conscience that says, well, I'm supposed to do good works, so maybe I'll go water my neighbor's plants because that's going to change their life. No, that's not the kind of stuff that James is talking about. Let me say it differently. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love because he first loved us. So what if you thought about works as love? Faith without love is dead. What do you think of that? It makes more sense to me. Because we've been shown love by a gracious Father. We've been shown love constantly throughout our life, and even when we don't do things wrong. And we're constantly reminded when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ how much he loves us. See, we don't do works in this life to get God to love us more. We do good works because God already loves us, and we don't need to be guilted into doing things so that we can do this checklist. It just naturally flows out of us. We love others because we've been shown a great love, and we want other people to know the love that we've experienced. That's the life of the Christian. Faith equals salvation plus works. But maybe your faith right now is dead. Let me tell you, we have a God who specializes in raising up dead things. Amen? You who once were dead in your trespasses are now alive to Christ. Paul says that in Romans. You just need to be changed from the inside out. And the only way that can happen is for you to remember whose you are, that you were claimed by Jesus in baptism, that he shows you his grace in communion and in confession, that he shows you that grace in other people. And when you remember who you are, that's when your life will echo what your heart already knows. Faith and love go together like peanut butter and jelly, like salt and pepper, like jelly donuts and cream soda, okay? Inseparable. There's no mayonnaise in the equation at all. Faith and love go together. So here's my question for you throughout the week. Where do you need to show love? The opportunities to love abound around you. All you have to do is open your eyes. Open your eyes to see the person next to you at work who's struggling, or even maybe the person sitting in the pew next to you who's struggling. Open your eyes to see the opportunities that God has for you to love his creation. Let's get to work. Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen.